Thank the Lord.
It is, last time I checked, another day that God's made, and a reason to rejoice. And if you love the Lord and you need to be reminded that there's reason to rejoice, then you need to dig a little further and get into God's Word, because we are blessed beyond measure. Amen.
Amen.
Just to be a child of God is the greatest privilege that any person can have in this world, and then for all eternity we're going to enjoy all that heaven holds for us, being in the presence of our Lord. Thankful that a few have returned. Brother Hugh is out in the foyer. They made it back home safely, and Brother Bill and Sister Reva. Anyway, they knew who I was talking about. And just thankful for God's goodness. We've been studying last Wednesday night and then Sunday night from 1 Corinthians chapter 10, probably the most prominent scripture in the New Testament on temptation. There's no temptation taken you but such as is common to man, and many of you know that by memory. And we're still going to be along those lines, but not be looking directly at that scripture tonight. I don't know that in the times that I have done some series, I've never started out with the intention to do that. I can tell you that before God. There's a lot of interesting studies, and I know, not faulting people, but every time, and I don't know if this will go on just tonight or a few more, it's a very important subject needed by all of God's people. But you pray that we'll listen to the Lord and go just as far as He wants us to. But we're never going to exhaust God's Word. Amen. Tonight I want to begin in Genesis chapter 3. If you want to stand as I read these verses, if you're comfortable doing that, then we'll go to the New Testament, to Matthew chapter 4. In Genesis 3 and 1, "Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman," I want you to catch these words because I'm going to come back to them. This is the first word from the tempter. "Hath God said?" "Yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden?" The woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. The serpent said unto the woman," now notice, this is in direct contradiction to what God had said, "ye shall not surely die." In Matthew chapter 4, many of you recognize this, of course, Jesus going into what is called the temptation, the wilderness. But I want to read, beginning it back up a verse, brother, and thank you. I put that there for a reason, because this is very important to how chapter 4 opens. Jesus, here in the latter part of chapter 3, has been baptized. He comes out of the water. The heavens were opened. The Spirit of God, like a dove, descends. And verse 17, "And lo, a voice from heaven saying, This is my beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased. Then was Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. When he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterward and hungered. And when the tempter came to him, he said," now I'm trying to paint a picture here of contrast. God has just spoken, "This is my beloved Son." Yeah. Notice the first words of the tempter: "If thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread. But he, Jesus, answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. I know there's much more to both of those passages, but we have a specific purpose in this tonight. But let's ask God to help us. Father in heaven, we thank you for this time. Thank you for each one that's here. Lord, thank you for this great honor, this privilege to come before you and say, Abba, Father. We don't have to come as slaves, as servants, as aliens or strangers, but we come as beloved children. We come with the assurance that we are accepted in the beloved, that we have an invitation to your throne of grace, that you long for us to abide constantly with you as we sung tonight. Lord, I pray that you would bless, you would anoint your word. There's nothing I can do or say to help even one soul, but Lord, that you might speak tonight. That's my desire. Take these lips of clay and speak through them words that will be a help, that will give instruction, encouragement, whatever our souls need tonight. You know us. We pray that your voice would be heard. We ask in the name of Jesus. Amen. You may be seated. I referred already to 1 Corinthians 10 and 13. It's a tremendous passage. In those two sermons, I didn't even scratch the surface of that. But if you were to look for passages that are dealing with temptation in regards to individuals facing temptation, I'll assure you that you will not find any more important than these two. The first temptation and the temptation of our Lord and Savior. Volumes and volumes have been written about both passages, so don't think we're going to get very far tonight, but as we consider them for a little bit, there's a particular issue, a truth in both of these that I want to look at, and I've kind of emphasized it already, and I pray it'll help us to understand. Because as we've been talking about temptation, the issue is not if we're going to face it, but when, because all of God's children are going to face temptation. And if you know very much at all about God's word, or you've been serving God long, you know that to be true. All of us are going to be tempted. You're not going to reach a place. And there, you'll find some of that, I'll tell you. You can find doctrines of men that said, if you get this place, you'll be above temptation. But you just smile and go along because Jesus was tempted. Amen. You will be tempted in this world. And, you know, a lot of that has to do with being tested and so on, as we've talked about. But it's as we understand this tonight that the Lord is, I believe, wanting to bring to us, that it will help us to get better prepared to face temptation. We don't invite it. We don't walk into it. We don't put ourselves in harm's way, so to speak. But we need to understand, as good soldiers of Jesus Christ, that we are in a battle. We're going to face other battles, and temptation is part of that. Tonight, I want to use the subject, where doubt leads. And this really has to do with the relationship between doubt and temptation. And to give in to doubt is to give in to temptation. But I hope you understand tonight before we leave that there is a process in temptation that the tempter tries to take each of us on as children of God. And I would put to you tonight that the first step in that process is to cause you and I to doubt. To doubt specifically what God has said. It's how he worked in the first temptation to introduce doubt into Eve's mind about what? About what God had said. Hath God said? It is the way that he approached our Lord and Savior. I didn't read the rest of it, but you that are familiar know that the both of his first two suggestions to Jesus began with, if you are who God says you are, you understand, Satan will try to get you and I to doubt the word of God, because doubting God's word, I'll just give you the end now, it always leads to failure. Doubting God's word always leads to failure. There are those who say, well, that's not a big deal to doubt, and you can question. God don't have any problem at all with your questions, and he don't have any problem with us, you know, wondering why this or what about that. But when it comes to what God has said, doubt is sin. Amen? You can ask me, what do you mean by that, Brother Chris? I don't know if I agree with you. And if you doubt what I say, you're not going to be necessarily in big trouble. But if I am quoting what God said, to doubt God, we need to understand how serious that it is, that first step. You know, there's temptation, but there's also entering into temptation. And the only way that we'll enter into temptation is when we give in to doubt. Now let's move on a little bit. The way that, now your mind may go to the book of James. James wrote, and certainly inspired by the Spirit of God, it's true. Every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. And that means much more than we limit it to, but do you know that how a child of God is tempted is a little different than a sinner? Now, let me back up that statement. And I'm not talking about somebody who's professing religion, but I mean a true child of God, that, and especially one that has matured and has become familiar with the Word of God and has walked in the Spirit. There's a vast difference in how Satan tempts a child of God like that than he does an open sinner. You know, he don't have much of a problem with an open sinner. When someone isn't, I mean, an open, outright, they're not playing church, they know they're a sinner, they don't have the Word of God in them. They don't have the Holy Spirit dwelling in them. You know, their life is not being conducted by how God thus saith the Lord. They're on their own path, and the only thing they have to deal with when they are tempted is their own conscience, which may or may not be messed up. And in many cases, what keeps much greater sins and crimes being committed is the fear of punishment for their sin. Amen? That's what they're dealing with. Otherwise, I mean, if we didn't have law, if we didn't have, a justice system in our land, and as most countries do, then, only God knows where we would be. So that's the only thing a sinner is really dealing with. And you know how it is, you remember enough about the life of sin that when we really want something, we know it's wrong, but our conscience is not enough to keep us from that, because we just kept on sinning. But when Satan comes against a child of God, someone who has put their faith and trust in God, and that means that they are trusting what God has said. They're trusting in the Word of God. Their faith is in God. They're hiding God's Word in their heart. He's dealing with a different individual now than that sinner who doesn't care about God's Word. Did you notice in these texts? Now, first of all, in the temptation wilderness with Jesus, Satan's dealing with the only perfect man, the holy, righteous Son of the living God, a man who not only had never known sin, but would never know sin. Amen? His approach is, it's very important we notice it, how he approached this man who is in perfect relationship with God. But I thought it's real noteworthy, the fact that he approached it just like he did with Eve. When he approached Eve, was she a sinner? No. She was the only perfect woman besides my wife. She's not here. Somebody whispered I said that. No, she's not perfect, but she's far closer than her husband. She knew no sin at this point. She was a child of God. She was in perfect relationship with God. You understand it? I'm not equating her with Jesus in his perfection, but I mean, she was, as a human being, she was pure. She was righteous. And notice how even as he tempted Jesus, he tempted Eve. He begins by introducing doubt, trying to get her to doubt the word of God. Satan knows you are different than you used to be. Brother Bill, what he used to do with us, it doesn't work anymore. It's not the fear of getting thrown in jail that keeps us from yielding to certain temptations. It's not even, and we're thankful that God's renewed our conscience, but it's not just the fact that we may violate our conscience. We have a higher power working in our lives. The life of God has come in. The Holy Spirit of God dwells within us. Satan's confronting someone different when he comes to a child of God. You with me? And so to get anywhere with what he wants to do, we get our eyes on the other temptations, but we often overlook this. He has to get us to doubt what God has said. Think about how what he said to Jesus, the Son of God. If you are who God says you are, said the same thing in verse 6 there in Matthew 4. If you are. If God was right in his assessment of you, if that was even the voice of God. This is what Satan's always doing. In a thousand different ways, he's trying to get you and I as God's children to doubt what God says. He's not going to take you right from a church pew to the gutter the next day in the sense, none of us want to go out tonight and get drunk, cheat on our wives or husbands, anything like that, rob a bank. He just wants that first step of doubt. That's where it gets his foothold. That's where it gets the strength for the temptation. I won't go so far as to say, because I'm a finite human being, that there are no exceptions to this. I'm making a generalization, but I'll tell you that most every time we are tempted as children of God, it begins with doubt. The problem is we don't recognize it. We don't identify it as such. And that doubt, I repeat, and I don't mind repeating tonight, because I don't think this is well enough understood in the church. The doubt will be centered upon what God has said. God just got through speaking from heaven. This is my beloved Son. I mean, if you've studied the life of Jesus, I hope you understand some things that when Jesus stepped into this world, he laid aside those robes of glory. Amen. He lived life as a human being. Every moment of his life, everything that he did, every word that he spoke, he lived by faith in God. He lived like we are supposed to live, by faith in God. His ministry's beginning. His public ministry began with his baptism. And you know, just imagine that. He comes up out of the water and the voice of his Father, audibly, God speaks, confirming, proclaiming, "This is my beloved Son." I wondered how anybody that was witness to that, how they ever could wonder about Jesus after that. This is the Christ. And I can't tell you, I know how Jesus felt on an emotional level. But imagine that happening and you witnessing that. And of course, as soon as he goes through that, immediately the Spirit brings him into the wilderness. He's tested. It's called a temptation. It was a time of testing for Jesus. And that's what the temptations began with. Did Satan accomplish anything? No, he didn't get anywhere. He never could get. Remember what Jesus said? He don't have anything in me. He can't find a foothold in Jesus like he did with all of us. And he still knows where to try to put his foot. He doesn't forget how you and I used to be. Amen. But he had no foothold in Jesus. So even the temptation, the thought of doubt could never take hold of Jesus. And yet he continues. Is that really what God said? Is that who you are? Now, those that were here Sunday morning, and we've had some internet trouble. We weren't able to get them on live stream. But I talked Sunday morning a message about who or what defines us. You know, one of the things that Satan tries to do in introducing this doubt to us on an individual level, he wants to rob us of our identity in Christ. You say, "Well, I know I'm a Christian. I know I'm a child of God. I'm saved. I'm going to heaven." And tomorrow Satan will be trying to get you to doubt that. Oh, yes. He'll be coming around. Are you sure? What about this? Are you sure? And you know what he'll do? He'll have you look at everything that you see in the mirror and think about everything you've done, and he'll cause you to forget what God said. I'm not saved because of the good things I've done. I'm saved because of what God in Christ has done and what he said. I belong to him. Amen? Hallelujah. Now it ties in, but I won't go down that road. But I know how much of a battle that is with many believers. And I don't mean just new converts, but I mean people that have walked with God many years, that Satan will come around and around and around. He'll try to cast doubt. How do you know you're a child of God? If you are a child of God, you wouldn't be acting that way. Nobody else heard that but me, huh? I just say again what one of the songs remind us of. I am who you say I am, not the devil. And we can rebuke that doubt. Now, same with Eve, as I said, attacking her mind. Did God really say that? You think that's what he meant? Maybe you misunderstood him. And this, because this is how Satan works. And he works through preachers and even doctrines today. How could you imagine that God, who loves you so much, could say such a thing to you? As if you did that, you're going to die. Surely God wouldn't say that. You know, and of course, we have doctrines today that are so corrupt, they imply those very things, but doubt is what Satan most uses to introduce temptation to our mind. It always begins in the mind. Before we get our eye on that thing or that whatever it is that the flesh may be enticed by, has to begin, has to get through here. Amen. Got to doubt, get us to doubt God's word, doubt what God said. You think about how this applies to us for a moment. When we are tempted, because as I said, we will be. You know, think back for a moment. When we got saved, we gave up lying. Amen? See, I never lied, Brother. Well, the rest of us are honest. You just lied to yourself. Amen? We gave up lying. We gave up cheating, gave up stealing, gave up, and I won't go on down the list because I don't want to dredge up things. But why do we do that? Because, boy, I'm just feeling like that's what I know. Because of what God said. Thou shalt not. And he didn't just say thou shalt not. He said because it's bad for you. It'll destroy you. It'll warp your mind. It'll ruin your body. It'll ruin your relationship. In many ways, God tells us, he didn't just say don't, but he explained why. He speaks these, you know, the positive commands for our good. All these things I've given you for your good. God told, I don't know why God told me not to do something. God said for your good. You know, I've been married for a long time, faith my wife, why can't I look at another woman? God said, don't do it for your good. Amen. But I, you know, Uncle Sam will never know if I just fudge a little on my taxes. God said, don't do it. Amen. Because he's just, no, for our good. Now, if people could just grasp that simple truth. They fuss, they try to twist the word of God, they try to revise and everything because they don't like what God says. But it's all for our good. Amen? And you know, to take hold of sin again, we've got to doubt that truth. God just keeping something from me. That's what the devil comes and says and introduces doubt. We gave it up. We repented of it because God's word said it's wrong. It's displeasing to God. It'll take away our peace and joy and separate us from God, all that is good. And you know that. The Bible goes on and on about sin, how it leads to destruction. And we agreed with what God said. Aren't you glad? We said, yes, Lord. God said that beer bottle was wrong for me. I don't even need to say for me. I'll just say wrong. Let me say it like it is. It's wrong. Amen. Because we got too many pulpits in our own community that's saying it's not wrong. And too many preachers standing up with a Bible in their hands that's sipping on this stuff. And I don't want to get carried on that road. And they got people on the stage, people in the pews that's getting drunk on the weekends. And I'm not talking about things I don't know about. Right here in Atlanta, Texas. So I'll just say it like it is. God's word tells me that's wrong. Amen. And so for me to say, well, you know, I think that, you know, just make me feel a little better tonight. I forget some things, you know, after a few of them. And you know what has to happen for me to do that? I got to disagree with what God said. I mean, I done gave it up at some point, and because I agreed with God, but now this doubt has come, and well, you know, maybe that's not what he meant. Oh, the Satan is a deceiver, amen. He is a liar. We have to give in to doubt to take hold of sin. Someone may think, because And the thought came to my mind. You say, well, preacher, I wasn't thinking all of that stuff. I wasn't disagreeing with God. I was just wanting to please my flesh. Amen. And only going in some lewd direction. I mean, just my flesh wanted to tell that person what I thought they needed to hear, so I did. It's amazing how we are. We can look at those big, gross outward sins, and oh no, but we'll let that tongue fly in a moment. And all God's people said, amen. Okay. I'm just telling you where the real battles are. Thirty-five years later, I have a whole lot more problem with this than this. Amen. He don't have any foothold in that no more. It don't interest me. But both those times I like to tell people what I thought. Amen. But you know what has to happen? Now, we don't consciously say these things to ourselves, but that's why God's bringing this message tonight. We need to identify what's happening. Amen. Because what's really happening in my spirit is, I know what God's word says, but it's just going to feel so good. Yeah. I'm going to have about 6.5 seconds of unmitigated pleasure when I say what I think needs to be said. And then, boom. Amen. I'm just talking about speaking. I have to first of all come to the mindset that what I want is going to be better than what God says. You understand? And you with me? I'm about to wrap this up. Somebody's thinking, I wish you'd wrapped it up 10 minutes ago before you started talking about the tongue. I mean, really what we do, we give in to the doubt that this sin is going to be a little better for a while than what God said to do. God said, if you obey me, I'm going to bless you coming in and going out, and you're going to have joy, you're going to have peace. But when we begin to doubt, we give in to doubt, so the old devil comes, oh no, this is going to be so good for a little while. No, we've got to doubt that what God said is right. I know what the Bible said, but this, this sin is not going to cause me any problem. Nobody need to tell me that don't come around, because that's exactly what, this won't be any problem. That first step to the temptation that you have in your mind is yielding to the temptation to doubt. If you don't remember nothing else tonight. So if we're going to successfully face temptation, the saying, it just comes to me, it's not in my notes. I'm not sure if the Holy Spirit brought this to mind or what, but the saying, nip it in the bud, get it on the first step. Before it gets on the first step, don't. Identify, recognize what's happening. It's not just my flesh. This is an attack by Satan doing what he did with Eve, doing what he did with Jesus, saying, has God really meant that? So we have to identify it. Don't believe people that tell you doubt's okay. I was a little bit surprised just studying today, and I don't always read a lot of what other people say, but I was a little surprised. Preachers that tell people that there's nothing wrong with doubting. God can deal with your doubts. Well, if you doubt God, there's something bad wrong with it. I'm not going to, but I'm going to wrap this up. But You want to learn a little more about doubt and where it leads? Study the Old Testament people of God, Israel. They kind of had a problem because of doubting God. God done all that. I mean, just dismantled Egypt for them. Got to open the Red Sea, and they're saying, I don't know if God can give us meat out here in the desert. Amen? We're going to thirst to death. They just kept over and over. The doubt that yielded to it became bad unbelief, and they died in the wilderness. Amen. I'm not here to, I don't want to end on a sour note. I want to end and encourage you. See, the problem is too many times we have waited until we've entered into temptation and then, oh, what do I do? How do I get out of this? Well, it's mighty tough. We can get ourselves in places God's grace will not keep us. I said that Sunday night. I said, God won't bring us to those places, but we can get ourselves in. Amen. I could go back and tell you that again, but we're going to face temptation with victory. We're going to have to keep walking with Jesus. We're going to have to keep believing what he says. Amen. We're going to have to keep the word of God upon our... This is why David said, I'm going to hide this word in my heart. Why? That I might not sin against you. That I might not yield to the temptation. David done been there. He knew. So let's not be those people who doubt what God has said. Because when you doubt what God said, you are doubting God himself. Amen? You say, I don't have no problem with God, just that book. Wait a minute. Don't be one of those. The God who I have faith in is a God that's able to give me this book like he wants me to have this book. Amen? And I'm going to believe what God says. Well, it may have been a little different tonight, but I hope it's something to chew on. I hope you don't spit it out when you get out in the parking lot. Hope you take it in and hide it in your heart. Amen? Because I believe that God sent it because he wants to help us. Ask our musicians to come. We'll sing a verse or two of a closing hymn. If you need to pray, we invite you to come. Father.